You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello, and welcome to the Civic Media Spotlight. We hope you're having a great weekend, and let's get straight into it. To kick off the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Matt and Air on Air. In this segment, Dan Schaefer joins Matt and Air on Air to talk about the 2026 Wisconsin governor's race and the speculation about Congressman Tom Tiffany running and making the statement that he is the best candidate to run. We discuss his history as a politician, as well as his strengths and weaknesses on the campaign trail. Let's get right into it.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live streamers on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He normally joins us on Fridays, but he's doing a little getaway. So Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, joining us right now. How are you?
Joining you here on a Wednesday. I'm doing well, Jane. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Recombobulating a little bit about the governor's race. Let's talk about the Wisconsin governor's race.
Yeah, the big political news.
Still making news.
We're still less. It's less than a week since Governor Evers and I. It feels like we've lived several lifetimes.
Every week feels like
that. Yeah, that's right.
When we're in the thick of elections, we're like, can we just not have elections for like 20 minutes? It's so tiring. Yeah. And the moment they're gone, like, when will they be back? Let's just talk about this all the time.
But the field continues to grow, it seems, as far as people who might be interested in running.
Yeah, and both sides of the aisle, too. I think, you know, obviously we saw Sarah Rodriguez and David Crowley. You know, Sarah Rodriguez officially launched. David Crowley saying he is going to launch. And I think there's some intriguing developments happening on the Republican side of the aisle, too.
Ooh, do share.
I think Tom Tiffany's going to run. I'm just reading the tea leaves from some of his recent comments on the radio. I do think Congressman Tom Tiffany from Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, former state senator for several years before he made the jump to run for Congress. I think he's going to run. If I'm reading, you know, the latest tweets, he's been raising his profile in conservative media in recent months. He has been, you know, taking aim at, you know, Tony Evers in various tweets from his campaign account, not from his, you know, official congressional account and things like that. He has like this Team Tiffany War Room Twitter account or whatever. Everything has to be a war room.
Apparently.
Nowadays, right. You know, taking shots at one of the other candidates one of the other Republican candidates running for governor, Bill Berrien. It seems like he is lining up something. And Greg, you had some information on something he said on a different program recently, too.
In a press release that we got through this morning, he was on the Vicki McKenna show and he discussed a potential run for governor, saying, quote, "I believe I am the best candidate," unquote. And I think you're absolutely right, because for the longest time, Tom Tiffany was sort of like Ron Johnson in his first term. Real backbencher, didn't cause waves. And then during the election season last year, he really started to kick up the Apostle Islands, for good or for bad, whether you like it or not, really brought him a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And he's been capitalizing on more exposure. And I'm sure he thinks he's the best candidate. I'm sure a federally elected official probably thinks, well, I know the more statewide view and I have more connections and whatever else reason you think. I mean, apparently he can also hold a fish if you're on Twitter.
That's the new requirement, apparently.
Yeah, he was standing on a frozen lake, which I concede is brand infringement on Eric Hovde, but that's for another day. But he was, you know, he is doing those things. He's ingratiating himself to the Wisconsin electorate through various things, and he's becoming more visible, and he's staying very plain spoken. And I mean that as a retail politics compliment.
But my question is, what wins can he bring to the public and say, look what I did for you. In all of my years in office, I brought you this and this and this. If I'm remembering correctly, and I don't know that I am, but he's He's real good at, he can come out and say, I stood next to the Blatnik Bridge that's getting repaired, which I did not vote for, but right. I was here to take credit for it. What is he going to bring to voters as I did this for you? I brought this for you.
I think it would be, you know, really what he's been part of the Republican majority with President Trump and like everything that's been happening over the past, you know, 6 months here and say like, hey, we want to, you know, bring this type of governing to the state of Wisconsin that we've been able to do at a federal level. You might not agree with that. Of course, I do not. But, you know, I think that is the message that he's going to send. And I think as he's really been raising his profile, particularly, and he's been a really hardline views on immigration. And I think he's been, you know, he's been tweeting a lot about immigration. He's been on conservative media talking about immigration a lot. Republicans see that still as a winning issue. I know
Even
you were talking about
have,
it
the
in
polls
the early part of the show here.
That considerably.
Absolutely. There has been a big shift in public perceptions after, you know, some of what we've been seeing with ICE, with some of the, you know, tactics that they've taken in the last 6 months or whatever, which are only going to get ramped up because like ICE got a gazillion dollars yes. in the big ugly bill. And so I think he's going to raise the salience there. I think this is also an indicator, though, of where the center of power for the Republican Party in Wisconsin is shifting. Mm-hmm. Because I think so long it's been so many candidates from the WOW counties, from Waukesha, Ozaukee, yeah. and Washington mm-hmm. County. We've got one of those candidates now running in Josh Shulman from Washington County. And the fact that people are still looking for other candidates tells you all you need to know about how Josh Shulman's candidacy is going so far.
Interesting.
But I think it is indicative of what this longer term shift that we have been seeing in the WOW counties and in northern communities, and northern Wisconsin, western Wisconsin, more rural communities in the state that have been shifting more Republican. And so I think you're seeing, you know, before the strategy was like, we need to run up the numbers in the WOW counties to counter what's happening in Madison, Milwaukee.
Right.
You know, we'll compete, we'll win, but not by a ton in other areas of the state. Now I think they need to win by like crazy big margins in rural areas because they're losing so much support in the WOW
counties.
So
yeah.
I think by having a candidate like Tiffany, and I know there's another state Senate president, Mary Felskowski, also from northern Wisconsin. She has been there. Her name has come up as a potential candidate for governor as well. I think this is just showing that like this is where the center of power for Republican mm-hmm. politics in Wisconsin is moving.
If you're just joining us, you are listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we are here with our political editor of Civic Media and the founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, talking about the ever-growing field and conversation of the Wisconsin governor's race, which will be taking place next year, of course. And something that really strikes me as interesting as far as Tom Tiffany, you know, trying to find that support, that's going to be, I feel, really difficult for him maybe, because if we look at the numbers of the spring election for judge, mm-hmm. we saw a definite slow move, not a blue wave, but there were moves in every county to the left. There are some changes of thoughts. If the economy is not doing well next year because of the big bill for billionaires, if he has to run on that, because for a while, any Republican, all they had to do was say, I love Trump and Trump loves me. I'm your guy. But that doesn't have as much cachet as it used to. And if the economy isn't doing well and he voted for the bill and there are shifts to the left, it will be, I feel, a hard slog for him versus maybe someone from the state like a Josh Shulman, who, by the way, I had a long conversation with Todd Alba about, and he says, this is a guy we shouldn't be sleeping on. This guy mm-hmm. knows retail politics. Mm-hmm. He knows Wisconsin. And I think that this might leave the opportunity for a GOP state-based candidate to say, look, I'm not from Washington. I'm from your hometown, mm-hmm. and there are problems, and I'm here to fix those problems. I think that provides a better narrative than, hey, I love Trump, and I have a fish.
So I think there are greater
weights on Tom Tiffany's shoulders if he runs, because he has to pray to all the living gods above to say, please don't tank the economy. Please don't, because it'll be John McCain in 2008 all over again.
We have a couple comments on the live stream I wanted to share. Tony says, I think Tom Tiffany says, look at what I stopped. He can't come to his constituents and say, look mm-hmm. at all the things I did for you, because he hasn't actually done anything. Yeah. But it's look what I stopped us from becoming Minnesota. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely been a line from Republicans lately. Oh, we don't want to become Illinois. We don't want to become Minnesota. Like, oh, they've gone woke.
They're over the cliff. Else.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, Tiffany does have experience in state government, too. So I don't want to overlook that piece of a potential candidacy, too. He served in the assembly for a term starting in 2010. He was elected to the Wisconsin State Senate in 2012 and 2016. So this is not somebody who is completely unfamiliar with the process. It's not like a Bill Berrien who's like this political outsider business type. We get, you know, a number of those folks running for Republican races in Wisconsin. So I wouldn't discount that. But, you know, if this would be the type of thing. And as I'm talking about kind of the regional element of this is if Tiffany, let's say he does a little bit better in the Northwoods where he represents in the 7th Congressional District. Well, I think considering the type of crossover appeal that I really do not think he has,
right,
particularly among suburban voters, you're going to see like a blue Ozaukee County if Tom Tiffany runs or something like that, right? Because I think this is just going to accelerate the shift that we've been seeing. And I think, and you know, I've talked about this on a couple different shows, and I think the key thing in the Republican primary is going to be the Trump endorsement. Like whoever gets the Trump endorsement is going to be the Republican nominee. And I think Senator Ron Johnson has talked about not wanting a messy primary. You know, let's get our ducks in a row, whatever that means, from our senior senator. And I think if Tiffany makes a run here, it makes a little bit of a splash, gets on Trump's radar, gets the Trump endorsement, that could clear the field.
Jake on the live stream says, Tom Tiffany's been consistently clowned on social media for the stupid things he says. Oh, and he opened the Northwoods to strip mining when he got elected to the Senate with Coke money. He's got a pretty cushy gig. He's got his big spread up north. I mean, it looks like a beautiful place. I'd love to see it, Tom, if you want to invite me. Why would you leave that? He's got an easy gig. You don't have to produce anything.
Well, I don't know. I guess he's ambitious, right? I guess he wants to take his shot for statewide office, and maybe he sees this as his best potential opportunity.
Well, and there's also something to be said about saying, you know what, the federal life, I mean, at this point, he's been in office long enough. I think he's going to get a pension from his congressional years. So he's going to get that. He'll get his health care. And being in Wisconsin, I also feel like gets him out of the messiness of D.C. And he can focus. He can say, I want to come back to Wisconsin, the entirety of Wisconsin. And I do not believe for a moment that Berryman, Showman, and anybody else who is throwing themselves are just going to be like, oh, yeah, you're right. I think that there will be a primary. I don't want to say it's going to be messy, but there should be a primary.
Yes.
All these individuals have something to say. They should have the ability to say it. And we're not about kingmaking. But I mean, Ron Johnson says a lot of things. So I think it's also Ron Johnson just once again trying to find anyone who will put a camera in his face.
There is that.
Because he likes it. Because he says things all the time, like today.
Thank you for mentioning that. Ron Johnson, this is on Twitter, says Josh Hawley's bill to ban members of Congress from trading stocks is, quote, legislative demagoguery. I don't even know what that means. And I'm not completely stupid. I like words. I'm familiar with words and meanings of words. What is legislative demagoguery, Rojo? Come on.
I don't understand what he's trying to say here.
It's like
his continuing quote there from Brian Metzger reporting this from Business Insider. There's a bill coming up today about trying to ban
members of Congress
from trading stocks, absolutely should do.
Yes.
And Ron Johnson's quote to say, we make it very unattractive for people to step up to the plate.
So if you don't get to do insider trading, what is the point of being elected to Congress? Put that on a shirt. Stay close. Dan Schaefer is our guest. We're going to keep recombobulating. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Mildly Cranky Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We move on to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. In this segment, Pete celebrates the 42nd anniversary of Vacation, dissecting its timeless humor and iconic scenes with guest Mike Siegel, who shares his own family road trip memories. Siegel, who's host of the Travel Tale podcast, also highlights his globe-trotting experiences, recommending Europe for first-time international travelers.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. I guess I shouldn't have taken, I shouldn't have made an assumption that Bridget is a woman. Because remember, I did that with Chris, but I've not ever met a guy named Bridget. But Chris with a K, I went woman. I was corrected twice. Now I'll never get it wrong again. So Bridget, if you are a man, a big burly man like Chris Casper.
Fist fight's coming. Fist fight.
Every time I mention Casper's name, he's probably like, oh man, next time he's in Madison, I'm going to kneecap him. All right. So this is exciting, folks. It is 7:20 as promised. My next guest, a very funny guy, a comedian and host, in the past, he's hosted such shows as If Walls Could Talk, What You Get for the Money, TBS's Movie Break. He's also the host of his own podcast, a very, interesting, insightful and funny podcast, Travel Tales. He joins us now over the stream, Mike Siegel. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Where are you right now?
I am in the beautiful capital of our 49th state, Alaska, Juneau.
No, I don't. And that's why I'm asking.
if you were, if you hear a strange clanging noise, oh, no. It's because it is an old school radiator in this hotel that sweet. I think was built in the Roosevelt administration. And by that, I mean Teddy Roosevelt.
So wait, are you on a ship? You're not on a ship then. You're actually...
No. I'm in my hotel. I just got off one.
Gotcha.
And I'm spending the night here. And tomorrow I got to fly to San Francisco to get on another ship. And coming back up here. And then I'm doing about five different ships in 3 weeks. And it's a lot, but hey, bills got to be paid, Pete. You know how it goes.
I do know how it goes. So you've done a lot of these ships, Mike, and I know you kind of have a love-hate relationship with them. Like you said, they pay the bills. You do get to, you like to travel. I don't know if you go anywhere exotic on the ships or not. It sounds like sometimes you do, but what are the best things about working cruise ships and the worst things?
Well, like you said, I have gotten to go to some amazing places that I wouldn't have made it to before, or it would have been very expensive. Like Antarctica, I've been there.
Wow.
And that one was a really, you know, high-end cruise. So it was less than, and it's a tip for anybody who does an Antarctica cruise. If your ship is over 450 passengers, you can't get off it. So you can watch it from the, and it is incredible, but you can't get off. So I was in a smaller, really kind of high-end luxury one. And we got to take little Zodiac boats to the beachhead, and we still got to walk around with penguins walking all around us, and that was pretty incredible.
Wow.
So that's one, too. And I just got back, like, earlier this year I was in South America, and I got to, and they let me off. I saw the date, I went, wait a minute, because it was dropping me off in Rio de Janeiro, and I said, I think that's around, like, Mardi Gras time, and it was like 2 days before Fat Tuesday. So I said, you know what, and this is the thing, if I just say, hey, look, can I fly back, you know, 4 days later, as long as it's from the same airport, they don't really care. They have to cover my travel. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I just got a hotel. I think I got the last hotel room available in Copacabana Beach. And because I always wanted to see it. So little things like that. I try to maximize the travel.
I thought you were going to say you went on a ship to South America and kept going south, and then you went to the South Pole. Like, and then I thought it'd be cool if you branded yourself. This is like the Poles comedian. He's got all these great jokes about the North and South Poles. So.
Well, in Antarctica, you got to get the ship in. It's either you get it in Chile or Ushuaia, Argentina, which is like the bottom of South America.
Jeez.
And you're only like visiting a little, that arm that's closest to it. Antarctica is huge, so you're only seeing a little piece of it, but yeah, it's pretty good. And then you got to cross the Drake Passage, which is crazy. That was like, they say you either get the Drake Lake or the Drake Shake, and the lake is like, you know, a smooth ride because it's about, I don't know, 4 days at sea or something like that.
Okay.
And but I got the lake going down and the shake coming back up, and it was like 4 or 5 days of just huge waves like crashing over the over the window and stuff like that.
When you're up there, when you're in the North Pole, and you said you were looking at penguins and all that.
Well, that was the South.
Oh, South Pole, Pete. I'm sorry.
Antarctica.
Oh,
come
Antarctica.
On. Get a globe, Pete.
I thought you meant the main Antarctica, not that subpar, ridiculous South. No, but
not
like...
the anti-Arctica.
How cold was it? Like, seriously, like, how cold were you? You're on a boat.
It wasn't... Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, it's windy on deck. I mean, it's crazy windy anytime you're at sea.
Yeah.
But there, you know, you have to go in their summer, which is our winter. So I think I was there in like January, February. And honestly, then we had a couple of days that when we went ashore one day, there's like a Chilean naval base down there that we went to. Oh, and it was sunny in like in the probably 50s. Yeah. And but, you know, it does get cold, you know, Wisconsin cold, not crazy. We're not going to the actual pole. I mean, right. To go to the actual South Pole is super hard and super expensive. And you got to fly in. I mean, that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, with that attitude. So how was Mardi Gras, Mike?
Yeah, the carnival was pretty crazy. And it's one of those things where I've been to Mardi Gras in New Orleans, and that was in my 20s. And I've been to things like Oktoberfest in Munich and stuff like that. But, you know, it's one of those events that I went there, and now I'm a man of a certain age, Pete, as you are. I think you and I are the same age.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it was like, this would have been a lot more fun in my 20s and not when I'm getting tired.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe with a group of friends, because I'm just, you know, I'm this older middle-aged guy by myself watching people, you know, dancing half naked in the street. And it's like, okay.
Nobody wants to see a guy over 40 do that or hunched over puking. A 20-year-old, you excuse you, like, oh, that guy's having a great time. But a guy our age is just like, oh, look at that pathetic soul. Mike said,
I always say, I like to blend in wherever I go. And then I realized in 5 seconds on the sidewalk there, I wasn't going to blend in because, like, I was wearing clothes. And them not so much. Them not so much. Three pieces of string is considered an outfit.
Oh, I know.
At, Mardi Gras.
That's awesome. This is Pete Schwabba at Nightlight. Mike Siegel is here. We're going to do the news and come back and talk about the movie Vacation. And I think Mike's probably had a hell gig maybe he can share with us from one of these cruises. It's Pete Schwabba at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Moving on in the Civic Media Spotlight, we have the Todd Alba Show. In this segment, Todd was visiting the farm of Brookfield-born Badger and NFL Hall of Famer Joe Thomas. When Joe was initially drafted, he opted not to join the festivities in New York. Instead, went fishing with his dad. Joe and Todd talk about how important it is to spend time with family outdoors.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show from Lake Michigan to Lake Superior, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between across the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday afternoon. We're live from Six Springs Farm in beautiful southwest Wisconsin. That is home to me and home to the person joining us here on the set, the one, the only. He is a 3-time Big Ten champion with the Wisconsin Badger football team and spent 3 years in the league, as they say. Mr. Brady Ewing joins us now. Brady, thanks for coming on down to hop, skip, and a jump. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great. Thanks for letting me join you guys today.
Well, it's our pleasure. And of course, our main host here at Six Springs Farm, the owner, the proprietor, NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. Joe, once again, thank you for allowing us to come out here and tell this story. Really, really appreciate this today.
Oh, this is awesome. This is so special for us out here to be able to tell the story of the farm and tell the story of the great people and places and the great things we're doing here in the Driftless area.
Yeah, absolutely. So before the break, I had to step away and do a little Midwest farm report. And who is better than Pam Yonke?
Nobody.
Right?
Nobody. I thought she was AI before AI existed because she never makes a mistake.
Right.
She's so clear and perfect and interesting every time she does all the market reports and stuff, and I just love listening. I wish I could just listen to her all day. Like, if I could just put that on the radio in the skid loader, the tractor, and just have her talk ag to me all day long. Somebody needs to develop that app, but I'd buy it.
I'm down for that. And of course, she's a big NFL fan for the Packers, of course. She loves the NFL.
Yeah, fabulous farm babe is also an NFL fan. I mean, I'm not surprised. She's the total package.
She really is. We're happy and fortunate to have her here as part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Joe, before the break, you were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3 in 2007. You skipped the draft. Back then, it was always in New York because you wanted to go fishing with your dad and your grandpa, and your agent seemed to be okay. But other people
really wanted you to come.
Well, the NFL realized that if, in order for them to make tens of millions of dollars with TV rights, they need the players there. But they weren't sharing it with us at the time. And so I think after they like kind of took a little hardball approach to say, like, if you don't come, they're going to think you're a prima donna. Nobody's going to want you. I was like, okay, we'll see. Like, I think I'll be all right. I don't think I'm getting docked because I'd rather go fishing with my dad than be on TV. Like, so we pushed back. I'm so happy that I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just was not interested in New York, and I'd much rather spend the day fishing with my dad. And it's interesting because that story resonated with so many people. And even to this day, when the draft comes up, and I got a chance to work the draft this year in Green Bay, there's so many people that aren't Browns fans. They're like, hey, you're that guy that went fishing with your dad. And then they'll tell me a story that it's so close to my heart, because they'll tell me, you know, my dad passed away 10 years ago, but that's what I always loved to do on the weekends with him. And I have so many great memories of him fishing. So thanks for doing that, because it gave me an opportunity to reflect on our relationship. And so just doing something unintentionally, having an effect on people and giving them the emotion, the feeling, the family, opportunity to reflect on those times that they had and what fishing provides, what the outdoors provides to so many families. It's so cool, because I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason, like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time, because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
Brady, we talk about this on this show all the time, but the value of time with family. And I think that story about Joe, A, just tells you everything you need to know about this guy. But I think from a fan perspective, to your point, Joe, I mean, when we announced that you were coming on last week, we had people texting in saying, I'll always love Joe Thomas because he gave the middle finger to the draft. Their words, yeah. Not mine.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what happened.
But put his family first. And Brady, I think that is just so important to the character. As somebody who played in college, who played in the NFL, isn't that the guy you want in your team?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to have your priorities in line to where you want to spend time with your dad, even amidst a big opportunity like that, is crazy. I mean, I know myself as a dad, I find excuses now to not take my kids fishing, but what a better example from Joe to say, even in this big pinnacle moment of your career, to still prioritize that. And maybe there was some ulterior motives with throwing up the middle finger, but it's really cool. And I remember, you know, looking up to you as a kid growing up in the state of Wisconsin, to remember seeing that and hearing that story. It was impactful to me at that time, and still is today. So thanks for that.
Thank you, man.
I think it just, it really set the tone for a lunch pail kind of guy in Cleveland. I'm coming in here to work my ass off, not to be a prima donna.
Yeah, obviously I didn't know who was going to draft me. Maybe if I got drafted in New York or L.A. or, where, you know, Arizona, it'd be a different reception. But as soon as I got to Cleveland, I mean, that was what all the fans wanted to talk to me about. Like, oh, that was so cool. We knew you were going to be one of us. When you decided to go fishing with your dad, you had the priorities in order. And Cleveland's a lot like Milwaukee, like Ohio, Wisconsin, very similar type people, very similar values. Family's really important. The outdoors are a big part of a lot of people's lives. And so they were Browns fans, but they also knew, like, hey, when you went fishing, it told us a lot about who you are and what's important to you, and that you're going to be a great fit here for the Browns.
One of the coolest things, to bring up another sport for a second, I ever got to do was go to the old County Stadium and see Cal Ripken at Milwaukee County Stadium back in the day. But Joe, you're the Cal Ripken of the NFL. I mean, 11 years, 11 seasons at Cleveland, had 10,363 consecutive snaps, not games, folks, snaps, the longest in the NFL. You just came to work every day and got it done.
Yeah, that is the mentality that I had growing up. That's the values and the perspective that my dad gave me. Like, my dad, I think he never missed a day of work in like 20 years. And there was one day in Milwaukee that he told me about when I was a kid, where they got like 16 inches of snow. And he was living, I think, in Wauwatosa at the time. And it was like 15 miles to get into the office. And instead of making an excuse and finding a reason why I can't work up and I can't get my stuff done today, it's like, okay. He's like, I put my cross country skis on and I skied to work. I had a backpack with my suit and everything I needed. I got there and I got my job done. Yeah. And I think it's interesting, like, when you make that decision, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to let anything stop, it's almost a freeing feeling, because then you don't have to think about every little thing. Should I do that today? I don't know. How hard should I work? You're able to just eliminate that from your mind, and it's like, I'm here to work. I'm here to do the job. Tell me what you need done, and I'm going to do it. And I think it's just a nice, easy feeling of freedom, and gives you the ability to just focus on what I have to do. And whatever it takes, I'm going to be the best left tackle I possibly can. I'll be there every day, and you can count on me.
We're here at Six Springs Farm in Southwest Wisconsin talking to NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, along with my co-host for the rest of the show, Brady Ewing, in his own right, three-time Big Ten champion for the Wisconsin Badgers, and also spent 3 years in the NFL. Guys, I want a little discussion here. Mainly, I'm just going to sit here and watch, but what I'm interested is, I mean, Joe, you were blessed, I would say, but you worked your butt off to earn it, but also just fortunate in this sport to have 11 consecutive seasons until it was a bicep you tore.
Tore my tricep in year 11.
Sorry, in year 11. Brady, your NFL career was cut short by injuries. You were pretty much healthy your entire time at Wisconsin, and then just ran into the injury bug in the NFL. Didn't get to spend as much time there, but I like both of your observations, Brady, you, and then Joe. What do you take away from the time that you did have in the league in football, and how do you apply that to what you do today?
It's what Joe talked about earlier. You know, the lessons you learn going alongside a team, searching to pursue a certain goal together, going through that adversity, going through the daily grind where you have to make that decision. Because even if you do make that decision, there's still days where you're like, oh, crap. Like, we're going to go out there and we got to do this thing again. And I'm interested in Joe's perspective on that, because as a guy that contrasts his career, you know, playing 3 years, all of which ended up on injured reserve at some point, you know, I didn't really have the ability to make that decision. So I'm interested to hear how you did that, especially as your career aged. How were you able to make that decision and still find that balance to, you know, keep yourself healthy and still go out and attack it and lead the team in an organization that you were a staple for many years?
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a lot of good fortune and good luck to play a full NFL season and be healthy, right? I mean, it's a very violent sport. There's a lot of big collisions, and things can happen. I mean, even things that aren't your fault, like the pile falls on the back of your legs or things like that, that really are hard to control. But I always just prided myself in my preparation, and that was the film work, that was study of the playbook, understanding, hey, okay, if I'm running an outside zone to the left and that back's going to cut back, this is the hole, like, there's going to be a dude flying in from the other side tackling him. So I better keep my feet moving and drive my guy to the hole, or that's the back of my knee. That's the entire pile is going to be tackled on. So having awareness like that helped. Obviously, God-given ability is really important. Your genetic makeup, you know, just like the 100% Wagyu cows behind us, genetically predisposed to having buttery, delicious, marbled beef. You're not going to get there unless you feed them the right way. And that was the same thing like in my career. Like, I knew that I had to eat the right way to be able to keep the weight on, to be able to recover from the hard workouts. And then as my career wore on, it was much more about focusing on the things that I needed to do off the field: yoga, stretching, cold tub, hot tub, massage, you know, the dry needling, all the different things that helps keep you on the field. And really a big part of it for me was finding yoga and practicing yoga on a almost daily basis and learning to connect your mind to your body and being able to feel and sense within your own body as an athlete. I'm sure, Brady, you felt the same way. Like, you know when something's not working right, sequencing, the muscles are not all firing the way they should, and trying to take care of it before practice starts rather than going out there and saying, oh, I'll just play through it. And then all of a sudden now you're favoring that, and then you do get injured somewhere else. And so just really being diligent with all of your prehab, with all of your rehab, and making sure that your training is spot on so that you're going to at least give yourself the best chance to stay healthy when you do go out there.
It's fascinating to me. And I, you know, as you look at, you know, my career and the things, to going back to your question, what I learned from that time, physically, I think you learned a ton about your body, about your mind, about pushing certain limits, and being able to channel what you've learned there as a dad in the business world. That motivation, the way that you find yourself, you know, facing certain situations where, like you said earlier, it's like, okay, I got no choice. You know, I got my family counting on me. I got, you know, this thing, like, what am I going to do? Curl back in a corner? Like, that wasn't an option on the football field. And if it was, you wouldn't be a part of the team. And so using those lessons, let alone the relationships that you have, the people that you meet, the people that you're able to have an impact on just because of the platform that the game's blessed you with. You know, your platform far exceeds anything that I've been fortunate to have. But, puts you in contact with some amazing people, and you get to learn from them too. So I'd say that's some of the biggest blessings of my football career.
Joe, 2 minutes left here before the next break. But what you both said, I think those of us who are fans, we think, I see a lot of high school football games, and those guys work hard too. But what you said, both you said, the preparation, the awareness, taking care, it is a job. It's not just going out there playing a game like kids every Sunday afternoon. It is a full-time job to take care of your body and your mind so you can perform.
Yeah, there's a reason that a lot of NFL players are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on chefs and massage therapists and all these personal trainers and physical therapists, because your job is your business in the NFL. And I've got to stay healthy. I've got to be at my best. I got to be in great shape at all times, because this is what I'm riding, whether I succeed or I fail when I'm out there. And like Brady was saying, my family's counting on me. My teammates are counting on me. The city's counting on me. And that was one of the things that I mentioned in my Hall of Fame speech down in Canton a few years ago, was the lessons that I learned from Barry Alvarez. And one of the things he'd always say is, count on me. We had a big sign in the locker room that said, count on me. And that's the type of teammate that he wanted. That's the type of teammate that I always strive to be. I want to be that guy that could say it in hard times. Hey, count on me. Let's go. I know we're down 14-0 right now, but this is our roadmap to getting that victory, and count on me, follow me. I'll be the leader. I'll be that guy that's breaking down the door. So if you follow me, we'll be all right.
We're going to come back, talk more with Joe Thomas, Brady Ewing, a little Badger football, and transition into hour two, which is going to be all about beef. Don't go anywhere. Live from Six Springs Farm here in Southwest Wisconsin, across Wisconsin, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We continue on with the Todd Alba Show, with Todd interviewing Joe Thomas. In this short segment, Todd asks Joe Thomas about his thoughts on the UW Badgers football team.
I don't care whether you're going through downtown Milwaukee, Green Bay, Eau Claire, whether you're on a tractor in Amory or Richland Center, you haven't got it as good as we do, right? Is it Jim Harbaugh that says, who's got it as good as we?
Nobody. I know
nobody.
That answer.
Nobody. We got it good here, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to our live on-location show today from Six Springs Farm in Southwest Wisconsin. Hall of Famer in the NFL and college football, Joe Thomas, is not only our host, but our guest as well here at Six Springs Farm, along with three-time Big Ten champion and spent 3 years in the NFL, Mr. Brady Ewing, on the set with us as our co-host for the rest of the show as well. Joe, off the stream, I got to get up here because I don't have the glasses on. Tony on YouTube says, who wins between Joe Thomas and current Miles Garrett?
Joe Thomas.
Oh, Joe Thomas and current Miles Garrett. He says, since Joe obviously wins, should the Browns have also paid you $40 million a year?
Okay, I'm glad that they answered the question for me. Yes, I mean, that's the easiest question we'll probably get all day. I'm in full agreement. And call me, I need a new agent.
Thank you, Tony, on YouTube. We appreciate that. Look, guys, let's talk a little bit about Badger football, but I don't want to ignore this here before we really get into talking about a lot of Wagyu beef, especially in hour two. That's a really cool part about being out here today. Brady and I have talked about this, Joe, on our show, and before each season, Brady and I have looked at the schedule and offered our prognostications. Now, look, there may have been two of the three people on the set today that bought all the hype in year one of Luke Fickle and said they would get to the college football playoffs. And it's not Joe Thomas.
Not good. Injuries happen.
But just give us your reflections. I mean, I said to Brady, what, a couple, 3 weeks ago, I said, can you name one person on the current Badger football roster? And for the first time since I can remember, I can't. And I mean, I know there's NIL now, and there's a transfer portal, and it's not the same as when you guys played, right? But I think there's a lot of Wisconsin. Now, J.J. Watt was back in Wisconsin last week before, really trying to connect the past with the present. But give us your feelings, Joe, on this current iteration of the Badgers. They have what some are saying the toughest schedule in college football this year. What are your thoughts?
It's a tough schedule. I mean, you look at it, when Brady and I were playing, you had at least four cupcakes on the calendar that you knew you were going to win those. And then, you know, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, they weren't as good as they are right now. And so you knew if you played well enough, you're going to win those games. And then as long as you beat either Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State, you were going to have a 10-win season, and it would be chalked up to a great success. But the NFL and college football are a lot more similar now, where the schedules are a lot more challenging, obviously with the realignment of the Big Ten and adding UCLA and USC and Oregon. Like, now you've got every single week where it's a really tough battle, and you can't just sneak by beating a bunch of patsies and get into a bowl game. And so I think it's a challenging time because of obviously NIL and the transfer portal. And then on top of that, you have a much more difficult schedule than when we were there. But all of those things put together. And by the way, like, fans' expectations are still what they were 10 years ago about, hey, we got to get to 10 wins to have a successful season, even though the field of college football is just a lot different. I think the transfer portal, NIL, they've made a lot more parity throughout the league. It's one of the reasons Nick Saban didn't want to do it anymore, because he couldn't stack his roster with five-star recruits the way he used to, because other teams can pay money too, just like they've been doing forever. What did I say that?
Brady?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough year. I mean, I talk about the non-conference schedule we used to have. You know, if you played well, if you showed up and did what you were supposed to do, those were typically wins. Now they got Alabama, I think, this year as a non-conference game. And you look at Illinois, you look at Minnesota, you look at others that, yeah, they're not gimmies anymore, and they've been outperforming the Badgers the last couple of years. So it feels weird as a former player to where, you know, we've traditionally been one of those top-tier teams with the realignment, with some of these other programs coming up, like Bielema bringing Illinois up. It's tough to see as a former Badger. It's tough to see them struggling. I'm hopeful with the new offensive coordinator, and I like his mindset. I like his mentality of being I think he said run first offense, I believe is what he said. But just that mentality piece, I feel like, has been missing in the identity for the Badgers here the last couple of years, that run first physical type offense.
And just a couple minutes left, but I think that's what, as fans, you know, what do we know? But I think that's what frustrated that, hey, I mean, Chris McIntosh rolled the dice, decided to blow it up, let Jimmy Leonard go. And I think a lot of Badger fans are like, why blow up what had been more or less working for so long? You rolled the dice with a whole new system, and people feel like you've lost 3 years.
Yeah, there's a lot of love for Wisconsin people in Wisconsin, right? Yeah. We love the homegrown mm-hmm. story. We love the guys that grew up in the state and played for the Badgers. And so I played with Jimmy in the NFL and in college, a great human being, a great coach. And so when you make that decision, the pressure gauge is dialing up, especially you let Paul Chris go, who'd had a great run here at Wisconsin. So a lot of pressure. And then all of a sudden, you're not able to have that success early on in your career as a coach. And so people are wondering, rightly so, like, hey, are we going to turn this thing around? Can we get back to who we used to be? And I think Coach Fickell's done a good job recruiting, but one of the big issues, I think, that Brady mentioned too, is just that dislocation between who Wisconsin's always been, who are the players that we can get in here that can make a difference, and what is our difference maker, right? It's always been, hey, we're going to get the most out of all of our guys. They're going to play great team football. They're going to be selfless, and they're going to work really hard, and we're going to be able to use those tools to turn us into a really good team. And I think when you had an offense that was pass first, and then now you don't have a quarterback because they've been injured, and then it's always a little harder to recruit top-end quarterbacks at Wisconsin, and you kind of get away from us running the ball and getting big and physical. It's all those perfect storms put together that led to frustration in Badger football. But going back to that run first physical style, leaning on what we can do from a recruiting standpoint, what type of players we can recruit and produce in the state of Wisconsin, I think things are looking brighter for Badger football.
Come on back. Hour two from Six Springs Farm in Southwest Wisconsin. Joe Thomas, Brady Ewing. What's worse and why goo beef? Stay tuned.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.